It's showtime.
You're listening to The Bank On It Show with John Siracusa.
Hi, this is Adam Jackson.
This is Zubin Matthews.
This is Lamine Zarad.
This is Renaud Laprange.
This is Uncle Joshi.
This is Robert Kral.
This is Eladsu.
This is Brent Jackson.
This is Obi McTavish.
This is Natasha Vanier.
This is Bam Azizi.
This is Bhushan Rangachari.
This is Arad Levator from Sunbeat, and you are listening to The Bank On It Show with John Siracusa.
Now, without further ado, your host.
Here's Johnny.
Over the last decade, a lot of amazing technologies and companies have been invested in and built, which created the finance industry as we know it today. A lot has been done, but there is so much more to go. And this podcast was created to tell the stories of the people who are building and investing in the future of fintech. I'm John Siracusa, founder and host of the Bank On It podcast and founder of Listen Deck, a podcast audio and video production company. Through my production company and after producing over 1,500 episodes in fintech, I realize every founder and investor has an intuition of a possibility in fintech, and through their superpower with sheer will and determination, they make that possibility a reality. On this podcast, I discuss with my guests the pattern matching they nurtured through experience, personal characteristics, and advice, the theories they devised, and the means in which they test theories to convert the right ones into reality. This podcast is their story unscripted. I'm here to ask the right questions to verbalize why they built or invested in the fintechs that they did. If you're looking to build, partner, or invest in fintech, this podcast is for you. If you like what you hear today and want to support us, please feel free to give this show a 5-star rating in a podcast application of your choice. You can also follow me on Twitter, or X, and Medium at John Siracusa, JohnSiracusa, or on LinkedIn at Siracusa. In today's episode, I had a chat with Arad Levertov, co-founder and CEO of Sunbit. Sunbit offers two products, a point-of-sale financing solution for physical locations such as a car dealership or a dental office, and a next-generation credit card that allows customers to choose how they want to pay for each purchase. The company's mission is to eliminate financial waste and pass savings back to customers and merchants. During our chat, Arad went deep into the importance of customer centricity and the role it plays in building a successful company and culture, treating each customer as if they're the only customer, building trust and loyalty through exceptional customer service. He also goes deep on the value of clear communication, staying humble, and learning from both successes and mistakes. So recording remotely with me today, I have Arad Levertov. Arad is the co-founder and CEO of Sunbit. Arad, thanks for being here today.
Thank you, John. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Great. So I've actually had your co-founder, Tal, on. He was on a few years back.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You know, Tal and I, we go big way together. We grew up together and we're excited to build this company together from the start.
I'm sure a lot has changed since 2021 for the company.
Yes, a lot of change. We're growing, expanding, which is helping more customers, which is the most important thing.
So what exactly is Sunbit?
Sunbit is a fintech for real life, financial technology that helps people in the real life. When you think about fintech, and especially buy now, pay later, there are many companies that kind of go in the online space. So we have the same direction of technology, but focus on where people need it the most. So we have two products. One of them is the buy now, pay later that used for physical location, brick and mortar. So when you go to fix your car at the car dealership, so when you go to the dentist, so when you go to the eyewear or to the vet, we help the customer to get the service they need now and pay over time. We are right now live in about 23,000 locations.
Wow.
And growing about 500 every month. We are in nearly 50% of the car dealership market. So if you come to fix your car at the dealership, at Honda or at Toyota, there is 1 out of 2 chances you will see Sunbit as a payment option. And we are in more than 10,000 dental offices and growing really fast on this one. This is the first product. The second product is a credit card, what we call it the next generation of credit card, that basically allows customers to pay anywhere, like a credit card, but then choose each purchase whether they want to pay it on the spot, like a debit card, as a buy now pay later to split it over time, or as a credit card they want to do the credit. So we have over 120,000 customers with the card, and we financed over like $400 million in transaction in this one. when you think about Sunbit, what we do, we focus on the customers. Like the main thing for us is to focus on the customers, which means we first of all try to be inclusive. We're inclusive. We approve more customers. We never charge any fee for the customers. So no late fee, no origination fee, no maintenance fee, nothing. And we are proud of our net promoter score, which is in the 80s. It's 84 right now. And we invite everybody that hear about Sunbit, go read Sunbit Google reviews, see what customers tell about us. This is like real customers that talk about us. And that's all. That's what we try to do. Served millions of customers in billions of dollars of money. And day after day, you know, minute after minute, trying to serve more and more customers.
So obviously, when you first built Sunbit, it was a very conscious decision to focus on the customer. And that's something that a lot of people, a lot of companies will say, we focus on the customers, we focus on the customers, everything's about the customers and so on. But there is a great actual business model with focusing on the customers, right? It actually makes a difference, not just for the customers, but also for the business. It can make a big difference, right? And so how did you realize that early on? And was that really part of like when you created the company with Tal, like did you decide this is what our key differentiation is going to be? We actually will create great experiences and those type of things. Can we talk a little further about that?
Of course. You just nail it in the head. Like people say it, but it goes to action. Like the question is how we do it, and then I'll talk about it. But it all started with personal experience. So I moved to the US in 2008 and joined a company that providing loans to subprime customers. So customer who could not, who didn't get credit card, actually went to the website, apply for a loan. And then if they approve, they get the loan, they get the money to bank account, and then they can use it anywhere, which it was expensive loan for the consumer because this is a customer that have high risk and the company had to spend a lot of money to acquire this customer. So the customer needs to pay back. And that's how we learned a little bit about fintech and about financial services.
This was at Innova.
This was at Innova, yeah.
Okay.
Where I learned a lot of what I'm doing right now. At that time, I didn't know that, but I myself was a subprime customer. And the way I found about it is when I went to buy at Costco and I said that I want to apply for a credit card. So it was about 2 years after I moved to the US and I was at Costco and I said to the cashier, oh, it looks you have like your core branded credit card. I want to have one of them because I did not have a credit card, but then I had only a debit card. So the cashier started asking me questions. And if you try to envision kind of the situation, I'm standing in the line, three of my kids with me, a lot of groceries and a diaper. At that time it was diaper. Now they almost go to college, but some stuff. And then I start having some discussion with the cashier who fill out what is my social security number, how much money do I make, where do I live, how much money I pay for rent. And after about 10 minutes of discussion, the cashier looks at me and she says, I'm sorry, I cannot help you. You got declined. And then I realized, oh, well, first of all, this is kind of embarrassing to her because she saw me and embarrassed. Two, it's even more embarrassing, even humiliating to me because I did it when people around me and it's not like when I'm doing it with my bank account or person. And then I also kind of start digging to it. I said, first, many people get declined. Then they go and pay high cost to credit. And even more importantly, many people do get the card, but then there's so many fees. I have another story. Once I had a credit card and I forgot to pay my payment because I thought it goes automatically. I woke up in the morning, bam, another $40 late fee into my credit card. And I said, why? You know, I'm a good customer. I would pay one day later. Like, what's going on? So then it came together to say that if you build a company that provide customer the credit at the point they need it, literally the point they need it, like in real life, we talked about real life at the point they need it, also helps the merchant to get done the transaction. Like after the merchant spend all the money to get a customer into the store to do it, and if you do it in the physical location, because there is a lot of innovation that started with the fintech in the e-commerce for many years, but it's easier. Still 90% of the purchase happening in the physical location.
Especially at Costco.
Yeah. You can do a lot of stuff. First of all, you can help the customer get what they need and pay less for it. So our mission from day one, and we are four founders, Tal, I, Ornit, and Tamir were more than technology and data science side. we said, what is our mission? And we put the mission, which is the mission is eliminate financial waste and pass these values back to merchants and to consumer. Like we start with this. And if you look at our 2016 company meeting, when we had like five people, this was there. If you look at last month's company meeting, this was there as well. The same mission. And we said, this is everything we do. This is why we want to do everything we do. This is the reason I wake up and work harder. So we impact more and more customers from day one. And of course, it's easy to say, it's much harder to do day after day. And you can give example of when you have the dilemma of what to do and what not to do.
You have to have very clean technology, right? Like there can't be a lot of waste in the technology stack itself. Because if you do any little waste, especially when you're adding 500 new accounts every month, right? Like adding waste just adds significant amount of cost, right? And then obviously a lower promoter score, you're not going to have all that. So you have to have really clean technology. So how did you figure that out? Like how to make it so clean that you're able to do this?
This is true. I mean, first, we always try to do better and better and better. And as an industrial engineer by training, there is always a way to do even better.
Of course.
I think that what we realized from day one, and that's one of the things we're doing differently, is that you need to use data and technology across the organization. So many fintech companies and companies that deal also with lending, they try to look at the decision and the underwriting decision and say, let's be innovative here specifically, which is good. What we realized that this is good, but it's not enough. Mm-hmm. You need to use data from looking at the merchants you're going to sell to. You need to develop the best product that will be super easy to use because more customers will want to use it. So you will have a great distribution of customers that come into you. Mm-hmm. And not only, let's say, the desperate customer that really need the money and that it will skew your population. So you need to have like really great technology. You need to serve the customer in a great way. And also you need data to serve, like when we, our call center, which is in, we have about 200 plus people in Nevada, in the US, answering any question the customer will need, they have a lot of data on how they do, who to call, what to do, and tying it all together with the most sophisticated machine learning and artificial intelligence, that creates the efficiency that you want to do it, and then growing to the next level.
So in the case of when I'm at, say if I was at a Toyota dealership, right, and I just got my car fixed, and I got a whatever, $5,000 bill or something like that. And I wanted to use Sunbit. They have Sunbit there. I'm using it, right? So how does it improve my, because that's a lot more than, I mean, although some people spend $5,000 at Costco, I mean, it's, you could easily do so. But like at a car dealership in that scenario, how is it a great experience for me? Like say maybe my credit's okay. How do I have a great experience there? Like I'm doing it with a service manager, right? At a dealership, I'm sure. Something that matter. And service managers try to help you fix your problems. They're not really finance experts.
First of all, it's true. We have about, as I said, 23,000 locations that we serve in. In this location, there are many people that work as service managers, service advisors, or receptionists at the dental offices. And in our system, we have about 150,000 registered service advisors that offer the product to the end customer. One of the key of understanding the data is to communicate directly with them. And we have the ability to communicate directly with them. We have the emails, we have the phone, we text them, they have an app and they know how they're doing, to how many customers they did, what did the customer say about them. It's all part of the ecosystem that builds the technology. So going back to your dealership experience, you come to fix your car, the service manager tells you, hey, John, it looks like it's going to cost you, as you said, $5,000. You need to replace the brakes. You need to replace the tires. And you need to do some more stuff. But don't worry. You can get what you need now and pay over time. And one of the things I would say that we offer in the car dealership almost to every customer 3 months, 0%. It doesn't going to cost you anything. So why not? You know, instead of paying like $5,000 right now, maybe you pay $1,000 right now and another three payment of whatever it is. So it helps you to spread the payment over time and still get the service now, right? And that's what helps. And you think about it like going to the dentist or going to the car dealership, this is a lot of time, non-discretionary expenses. You come, you think it's an oil change, bam, $1,000. You come, you think it's only cleaning, bam, you have a root canal. You need to do it, but you want to get back to your life. You don't want to come back when you have the money. You don't want to have the pain in your tooth when you do whatever you do. You just want to get fixed it and move back to your life, real life. That's what we do. We help people real life. We treat the customer well, which means John will never get any fees from us. Even if John is late, we'll call him, said we need to pay. We'll report to the credit bureau after 30 days because it can happen, but we'll never charge you additional fee and we'll always treat you with respect because we remember these are people behind it. The first value is serve others before selves. We say it's not about us. It's about the customers and the merchants, and that's what we try to do.
So, all right, I'm going to try to make a connection here, right? So you were in the Israeli Special Forces, right?
He's Israeli naval commander. Navy SEAL. You can look at this.
So, to make that work, you need communication excellence, right? You need to have execution excellence, communication excellence. Everything has to work. Infrastructure that works properly, those type of things. I'm actually curious how much of what you built at Sunbit came from, you're a major of the Israeli Navy SEALs. How much of that understanding did you utilize to really make communication excellence, execution excellence at Sunbit?
When you deal with special forces and you are being with your team a lot, you talk about communication, the idea is really communicate without even speaking with the person. Like, you know, when you dive underwater, you don't even see your partner because it's like dark. And, you know, by signs, even signs, like noise a little bit, you need to communicate. And that's the key, really understanding what is important. The key in these special forces is that it all starts with the why, because you cannot do the training, you cannot complete the service without really understand why you do everything you do. Because if you don't understand, you start questioning yourself when it gets hard, oh, why do I need to do it? No, but if you really want, okay, because I'm doing it, so I can work harder and harder and harder. The main connection to the summit is the idea. I told you about the mission to eliminate financial waste and pass savings to customers and merchants. And this is where we start Sunbit. And this is when you build a company, it's hard. When you build it in the financial services, which is dominated by the old school banks who have tons of money, even how much money you think they have more money, right? And they've been there like for many, many years and they're not doing well for the current customers. But you need to really, really understand why you want to do it because it's hard. Because you need to disrupt the market. You need to tell investors that you're going to disrupt the market because, and they need to convince them because they will ask you, well, how can you do it? I mean, the banks cannot do it. How can you approve all these customers that the bank cannot approve? How can you build this product in like 30 seconds when the banks take like 10 minutes to do it and they have so much money? So you need to convince them and sometimes they tell you no, but you need to do it as well. And it all starts with this. And I think that this is the main connection. You start with this, then you build the team around it.
Yeah.
And you connect the team to this. As I said, we have four founders. We have the founding team and all of them are working literally still right now, day after day and doing it. And what you call it, the founding team, the people who were with us since 2016 are still with us, focusing and making move after move, day after day to help more and more merchants of customers. And when you connect everybody to the mission and then everybody knows what he or she needs to do because, you know, we have finance and we have legal, we have technology and we have sales and we have marketing. Like you put it all together, this is what makes the machine run and make another impact and another impact.
If you have true conviction, then you can move much faster, right? Like things like making decisions. You mentioned earlier, like how do you make decisions, right? Having true conviction throughout the culture makes it much easier to make decisions, much quicker to make decisions, right? Like having a 200-person team to be able to support the 119,000 or 120,000 agents that could sell it, right?
And over 3 million customers, like you said, it's a lot of stuff, right? And I think that the key is to, you and I talking in podcasts, it's easy to say, oh, we have this, but the question is what happens when you have to make the decision, right? So let me give you an example, right?
Please.
And it's example about, you mentioned the values and why you help the consumer. I think it was the summer of 2021 or 2022, we had a spike in volume. The call center had a lot of calls and we were not caught up with hiring. And then we also had some increase in delinquencies and we needed to call customers to say why you're late. So, you know, some people said, okay, maybe because you want to call customer and get the payment. So some people asked me, okay, maybe we ignore the calls from customer service right now. Let's put all the customer service instead of answering calls to consumer, let's have them call to late consumers, right? So we get the money and we are good, and which some people may decide, oh, you know, this is, if some customer ask a customer that is not late, ask to do something for his account, maybe it's less important than you need to call another customer that will pay. But we said no. And it was a clear decision. I say, no. First, we answer all the customers. Yes, we're going to suffer for the next month or two in high delinquencies because we didn't have enough time to call the customers. But this customer, they call us, we need to answer them, and we will have to, it's our fault. It's not their fault. It's our fault that we didn't staff up for this one. We'll have to work harder to make sure that we have enough staff to answer, that we have, the systems are great, that we can do some other stuff with other people. But for the short period, we will definitely, like it's not clear, prioritize answering the customer call, whatever they want, then trying to get from other stuff. And this is like one example. There are many examples that day to day, you look, what is the North Star? What, conviction is the customer, focusing on the customer.
Yeah.
People see it, right? People, the team sees it. Not only the management. We are right now over 500 employees. People see it and focus on it. And when there is a dilemma, always focus on that. I say to every new employee, I said, you're going to learn a lot of stuff and a lot of procedures. But remember the North Star. Focus on the merchants and the customer. Everybody here used to be a customer. I'm a customer with my cable company or my phone company. I always, everybody has the call and waited online. Remember it, try to do it better.
Thank you for sharing that. Two distinct things that I realize when you do things that way. First is you're sharing with your team that it's not just a plaque on a wall saying the customer comes first, right? That's first and very important. But the second thing is you took responsibility. And this is the most important part because you decided to focus on customers first and whatever their calls are later on about getting money, you learn that there is a weakness in maybe the tech stack, or maybe there's a weakness in communication, something, right? And you fix the problem. And this is the important thing here. It's because I asked you a little earlier about having a clean tech stack. This is the essence of it, right? If you find a problem, if you don't fix it, if you don't identify what the problem is and then fix it, it just adds on to problems later. Let's just say, for an example, and you decided to make the decision to go after customers who owed you money first and then ignore customer service. You're not fixing the problem.
Of course, you're creating more problems, I agree.
You're creating more problems, right? And so that may temporarily fix something, but that problem is still there. And then you have that plus two other ones that pop up, and now you have three problems you have to deal with that you didn't do anything about. So I think that it's so important. And this is the essence of what I'm trying to get across too when I asked earlier. If you really, really actually focus on the customer, you could really make a difference in your company.
Exactly. Exactly. This is a good point. If you really focus on the customer, eventually he tells, because the customer like you, they come back and use it again. We didn't do any marketing to our customers after they use us again. And nearly 30% of the people came again and fixed the car with SunBeat again. And how many times, which means once they use SunBeat, they will come to fix the car again, then we'll use it. And then they go to the dentist and they use it and they tell their friend they use it. And now we have more product, which is a credit card, they're going to use it. It works well. The key here is, I call it, don't get blinded by the numbers. Because sometimes it's, oh, well, we served, you know, over 3 million of customers, you know, billions of dollars of loans. So who cares about this customer or the other customer? Again, one of the things I try to tell the team always, treat each customer like she was the only customer for SunBeat. Because when this customer has an interaction with SunBeat, whether it's the phone, whether it's through the Toyota dealership, so the dentist, or they have, or even the app, right, when they look at the phone, this is the only angle to see SunBeat. And they don't know that on the other side, there is maybe sitting an agent that already talked to 100 of customers today. But this is the only opportunity for this customer to interact with SunBeat. And each one of the representatives that works at SunBeat basically represents SunBeat. That's why I call it representative, represents SunBeat. And that's why we need to treat each customer like he or she was the only customer for SunBeat. And if you do it right, again, day after day after day after day, then you build the halo effect and then you win the long term. This is a long term game. There are no shortcuts. That's another thing that I'm learning. Think about it. We started in 2016. There was some good period in the economy. Then there was COVID, then there was like some macroeconomics, and then interest rate went to the sky where we are right now. But eventually, if you focus on what you do and you do it efficiently and you're getting better and better and better, that's where you are winning eventually.
So going back to the Israeli special forces, all right, so when a problem occurs there in communication or anything, how is it handled?
With a lot of determination to fix the problem. There is the mentality that we will be anywhere where we need to be and everything is doable, but you need to stay humble. So that's kind of super important. And then when you do it, you really have to get into the details, really get into the details, and you need to really also learn from a success, but also from mistakes. Like, you cannot sugarcoat anything. Like, if you did something that some of the things didn't go well, you will learn. You will ask the question, why didn't, what didn't we do here well? What we can do better? And that's why you can better and better and better. And I think that staying humble and no ego is also super, super important. For example, as my teammate criticize his action, it's not about criticizing him, it's about criticizing the action. And he will understand, it's okay, he will try to learn from it, answer me. And because again, it all goes to the mission, right? It's all go to why we do what we do, the conviction. And when the conviction is clear, we can talk about it and call it argue, but do the right thing. So I think if you, how do we handle, there is a problem, everybody try to help, because that's what we try to do, with no ego, staying humble, attention to details, and trying to be excellent in what we do.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier as well nonverbal communication, right? You mentioned then the mission or the focus of what Summit is, right? The customers and merchants come first, no matter what, right? No matter what. That adds the ability for people to make decisions on the spot. And what you've built is a balance of people making decisions on the spot that are right for what the company stands for and the culture stands for. What about things that are not nonverbal communication, like things like improvements, or if somebody realizes an issue, and they realize an issue on the front lines or wherever it may be, and they need to get a fix? How does that actually get put back into play?
So we have call center in Nevada, but we do have employees that sell in the field, like in different states, and they train in things. And when we think about it, when you go to sell to a mechanic, the mechanic doesn't sit like us and do a podcast, right? I mean, then the mechanic works and you need to sell to him, so you need to see them in person.
Yeah.
And we have people that go there, and the good things is about communication. I mean, we have employees that came from retail. We have employees from being a service manager. Now they work with us. And when they give us the feedback, we communicate directly to the call of the headquarters, to the tech. And we look at the data and we, maybe we fixed it right away, maybe we don't, but we communicate with them. We said, this is thank you,
yeah.
We're working on it, we communicate. I think this goal goes to, there is no hierarchy. I mean, of course there is hierarchy in the company, but since the focus is not us, it's the consumer, again, they serve others before self, so everybody can say something. And it happens a lot. When something doesn't feel right, oh, we call to the call center, did you hear anything? We call for the field, did you hear anything? And then we go to the tech, guys, what did you do? Let's figure it out. It's all open communication with the same mission of making the customers better. I would just say it, and you learn in business school that the mission is important, the team is important. You need to choose what a work that you are passionate about. And then I remember it, that learning it about it, and I said, okay, maybe just for the school, right? Just for the professor. But then it's actually, I wouldn't say that simple, but when you crystallize it, it's that simple. It's all about the basic. It's the same basic that it doesn't matter what you do. Understand the mission, communication, have a great team. Everybody has to understand. Put the ego on the side. Ignore the ego. Ignore the ego. That's like all the time, because it's not about how do I look good. It's about how the customer is getting better.
That's
right. And if you do it right, that's all. People ask about features and everything. It all goes to this. Like, if you do it right, then you do work harder, and then you get, and sometimes you need to bring other people, and because they are more fit for this position, and other people will understand it.
If you weren't in the Israeli Special Forces, do you think you would deeply understand this concept? Because learning it at school, learning it on paper, or learning it in a book about focus on, I hate to use the word mission, but essentially the mission and the, and what's important. Reading about it is one thing, but actually living it is a whole nother thing, right? So do you think you would have been able to understand it deeply and buy into and have full conviction if you didn't spend time in the military?
It's hard to say. I think that what I bring to SunBit is my past experience as a person. A big part of it is the special forces. Some of it is Innova. You know, Innova was a great company. And then even though there was high cost, they tried to focus on the customer. Some of it is, you know, I told you, Tala, our co-founder, and I, we grew up together. We went to the scouts, like we were counseling in the scouts together, and we taught kids how to be counselors. So, you know, it's efficient and startups. Like it's all, we sometimes we kind of discuss between us. It's all like we did as kids in the Israeli scouts. So I think it's all together, but it all goes back to the values. We try to make sure that the values are not only on the wall. I talk to them when we evaluate people. Is be a person born by the values? I talk to them when we make decisions in my emails. Just yesterday, I emailed someone, good job, but let's keep innovating for good. Let's make sure we serve others before ourselves. Let's connect genuinely. These are part of the values that I speak about it. I push about it. I ask people about it. Are you doing it or not doing it? And I think it all goes to, if you ask me about it, is special forces. It is my business experience. I worked at Intel as well. I learned a lot of great KPIs, a lot of great culture of organization. It is what I did at Innova. It's all together, and I hope we keep doing it and growing something more and more with this information.
And now that we're coming to the end of the interview, I want to leave off on a final question that I ask everybody, right? If you could spend a day with anyone ever, whether that person is currently alive or past, who would it be and why that person?
First of all, I would like to have more time with my wife and family. That's like number one. It's not related. But I would say Yitzhak Rabin, who used to be the prime minister of Israel and really drove to try to get peace, even though he was like probably one of the best soldiers. And I wanted to see his vision. And also on the other side with Anwar Sadat, the brave president of Egypt, who actually drove to peace with the Middle East.
I'm curious to see, what would you like to witness or see?
The courage to do things that maybe you won't benefit. By the way, both of them got assassinated, so maybe you won't benefit from your life, but you will do something for the next generations.
That's great. And on that point, Oran, I want to say thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, John. It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening until the end of this episode. I want to personally thank Oran for being a guest on my show, but more importantly, I want to thank you, the audience, because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't exist. And although this show is over, I look forward to seeing you next Thursday morning. I'll be releasing my remotely recorded interview with Blake West and Mike Saul from Marble Labs. See you real soon.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!